everybody. Glad you're here. Good morning. There we go. Lou did such a great job of praying. Let's just open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll make one more stop along our way in our Bible study to Deuteronomy chapter 15. So if you want to also kind of bookmark that or stick something in that area. Again, 1 Corinthians 15 and Deuteronomy 15. And while you're making your way there, I just want to say how proud I am that in 1 week we're able to fill those big tables with a bunch of presents and for 7 families that will actually be blessed this Christmas. So I thank you all for doing that. I know it was short notice, but I appreciate it. I know we're all busy and we got a lot of other things to do, so for you to take that time and quickly gather all those gifts is such a blessing to us and to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to pick up in verse 9. This week as I was praying and asking the Lord to show me what he would have us to learn this week, something came across the Christian radio station that I was listening to, and it was a quote from one of a Facebook post. And it just reminded me that, you know, we all have times where each of us are in stressful situations. I mean, have you ever, like, been at the checkout with all your groceries after 20 minutes of ringing all the items up just to realize you forgot your wallet? I mean, I've gone actually on errands and got driven all the way across town only to realize I forgot my wallet completely, had no way of buying anything. So sometimes we get into those situations. Sometimes we get into those times where we're like, oh no, how can I get out of this? You're like, could I just disappear? And this story that they shared on Facebook really just touched me and made me realize that, you know, as believers, sometimes we get ourselves in difficult situations, and God can help us get out of those. So I just want to read this story. I thought it was just a great picture for us. Her name is Robin McFadden. She was juggling her 3 boys through the Publix checkout line. Her 8-year-old had just finished basketball practice. Her 2-year-old was grabbing at the candy, and her 10-month-old was very tired. She was in line at a Publix in the northern suburb of Atlanta. She had a pile of coupons, and her total just wasn't adding up right. It could have turned into a terrible moment, a moment of frustration, rude comments, and impatience. The people in line near her realized she was struggling. At that moment, I was just trying to get out of the store, Robin said. I heard someone talking to the left of me, but I wasn't paying any attention. I was in my own little world. A man asked, "How much is she short?" Robin turned and saw Jeff Foxworthy standing behind her in line. He's a comedian. Most of you probably know him. I gasped, and he just laughed. She told the famous comedian he didn't have to pay for her, but he said, "Watch this," and swiped his card, Robin said. She asked him to take a selfie, and I actually have that picture. That's Robin, and that's Jeff Foxworthy. The man with a signature mustache mugs it up with a big smile, pointing at the stay-at-home mom. She says, "It's not that I'm in need. He just helped me in a hard situation." She posted the story to her couponing Facebook group page. By Monday morning, Jeff Foxworthy was trending on Facebook. Robin was thrilled, not because he paid for her groceries, but because something good was trending on Facebook. "I'm so happy this happened," she said, "because right now my page is filled with so many positive comments. Lately, Facebook has been filled with so many negative things, but not now. I love it." Robin is a coupon user because it helps her stretch her family's income. She sometimes uses the money she saves to help other people. In fact, just last month, she posted on her Facebook page, "I'm looking for a family in need." When she found one, she made a donation. "I blessed someone, and then I was blessed. It's that simple," she said. The thing I like about this story is it reminded me of that saying that we've probably all have heard, pay it forward. Pay it forward. It was an opportunity for Jeff Foxworthy or anyone that was standing next to this girl to help out someone in need. It didn't matter how much money they made. Jeff Foxworthy has been blessed, and if you know anything about Jeff Foxworthy, he leads a men's Bible study. He's always contributing and donating in his church that he attends, and so he's a man of faith. He's been blessed by God, and so he wants to help others. I wonder, would we, each and every one of us here this morning, if someone was struggling in line in front of us, would we help out? Would we have stepped in and swiped our card? Or would we have complained that, man, this is going to put me behind? Because we're so sometimes focused on what we're trying to do that we miss the opportunities that God gives us right in front of our faces. And so it made me think about this, paying it forward, and how we as Christians have been so blessed by God, right? So blessed by God's grace, so blessed by God's blessings, that we should be those ones to step up and to help others, to be looking for those opportunities to help out someone in need. It is such a blessing, as we talked, I think, a couple weeks ago, more blessed to give than to receive. How a blessing it is for us to help someone in need. And certainly here, this girl, Robin, didn't need the money. In fact, one story says, really, all he helped pay is $25. So it wasn't a large amount, but it blessed her out of a hard and difficult situation. And sometimes I think we can do that for others, as long as we're watching. Will we help? Will we complain? Will we do what needs to be done? Are we looking for those opportunities? Well, as I was thinking about this message, this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 came to me. And if you'll read it with me, we'll start again in verse 9, just for some context, but it's really verse 10 I want us to focus in on. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." I want us to be thinking about this time of year as we're always bombarded by people that want help, right? I mean, as a church, we help 7 families in need. Maybe not only in church, maybe when the checkout lines, they're asking, would you like to make a donation to this particular effort? Maybe at the gym that you go to, they're raising funds for a certain ministry. There's always opportunities to help in this time of season. But I want us to be thinking, are we paying it forward throughout all the year? As believers, as Christians, as the Apostle Paul here says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Are you here today, the person that you are today, by the grace of God? Have you ever stopped and thought for a moment how absolutely blessed we are by the Lord? Again, as my wife shared, some of the opportunities that God has given to her, some of those open doors that he has given to her, she's walked through and God has blessed. And she was right. Last night in bed, we're like, can you believe what God has done in our lives? I mean, 2 young kids, 2 young punks coming out of Rochester, New York, and look what God has done. I am a pastor by the grace of God. I am her husband by the grace of God. Everything that I have, everything in my life is by the grace of God. Can you say that? Have you ever taken the time and the moments to go, God, thank you for everything that you've given to me? Listen, we can all make a list of things we don't want in our lives, but are we thankful for the things that are there, the things that have come to us by the grace of God? And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I wanted to read verse 9 because the Apostle Paul is looking at his life going, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. I'm the least of all the apostles. And yet God's grace was so sufficient for me, he made me an apostle. Because I know for many of us, we can stand before God and go, God, I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your love. But God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. And if we're going to be those people that are paying it forward, that are allowing us to be that conduit to pass on God's grace, we need to be mindful of these things, that the grace doesn't stop with us, but we're looking for those opportunities. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's just somebody that you run into. There's a need. Are you willing to meet that need? Because God has blessed you so much. That's what Paul was saying. Paul knew that what he'd become was because of the grace of God. And notice what he says in the middle of verse 10. He says, well, let's start on the beginning. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. He says it was not in vain. In other words, God didn't waste his grace on me. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Don't you love that? Here's the Apostle Paul saying, it's God's grace in my life. It's just, I am who I am because of God's grace. And matter of fact, I worked more than any other person. Seems a little prideful, doesn't it? But Paul says, listen, I put in some hard work. I served the Lord Jesus Christ. I served God faithfully, probably more than anybody else. But then he comes to the realization, you know what? Even that wasn't me. Even that was the grace of God. Guys, we need to realize we need to work hard. We can't just sit back. We can't just be lazy. We can't just be waiting for those opportunities. We need to be diligent in the things that God has called us to do. Whatever it is, whatever area of your life that you're living in right now, are you doing it to the best of your ability? As we've said before, work hard and watch what God will do for you. He'll open up those doors of opportunity for you. And let his grace flow through your life. Paul was changed. I couldn't get away from this. Paul was changed by the grace of God. And I would imagine every single one of us in this room has a story of how God's grace has changed us. How the grace of God. Do you know what God's grace is? Do you know the meaning of grace? Getting what you don't deserve. Getting what you don't deserve. The fact that he loves us, the fact that he saved us, are things that we don't deserve. Paul's life was changed. Has God's grace changed you? And can you say that? Can you say that without even an inkling of a doubt? Thank you, Lord, for your grace. You know, our lives are so busy and we just go, 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 go. Sometimes we forget to stop and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done. Because sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Life is difficult. And sometimes it doesn't go the way we want it. But we need to allow this grace of God to come upon us. Don't allow God's grace upon your life be in vain. Don't let that be in vain. Make sure you're paying it forward. You know, I also believe that we should bless others or be ready or willing to bless others in proportion to how much God has blessed us. Isn't that so true? I mean, if God's grace is in vain, it means it's God's grace is upon us and then that's where it stops. We're not allowing it to flow through us. Are we blessing others based on the proportion of God's blessings to us? If you look back on your life and you're a gracious person, you'll see that God will give you even more grace. God's grace, listen, doesn't run out. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God's grace isn't that, oh, sorry, you used it all up? No, we can come to him all the time, say, Lord, I need a little bit more grace. You know, Paul says, when we sin, grace abounds. And Paul says, well, should we keep on sinning so that God's grace would continue? Certainly not. But God's grace can also abound in our obedience, can it? God's grace can abound even in our obedience to him. Are you blessing others in proportion to what God is blessing you? I came across this verse in Psalm 116. Maida, if you could stick that up there. This is Psalm 116, verse 12. Look at this. This is David thinking about God and all that he's done for him. And he asked this question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I think this is a legitimate question. God, you've been so good to me. How can I in some ways repay you? Is there even a possibility that we could repay God? I always like to ask this question. What do I have that God would need? Right? What could we even give to him that he would want? Even if we gave our lives, it wouldn't be enough for all that he's done. And so David is sitting here going, Lord, what can I do to repay you for all the things you've done in my life? The next verse answers it. Verse 13 says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Taking this cup of salvation is a thankful heart. It's almost like saying, giving God a toast. Okay, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you for my life. And so David is saying, thank you, God, for all that you've done for me. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to call in the name of the Lord. This is devotion with the Lord. What we can give back to God is our time. What we can give back to God is our devotion and our commitment to him. It's communion with the Lord. Lord, thank you for your grace in my life. Please give me more. Please give me more. I think we should be selfish in this area of grace because God wants to be gracious to you. God wants to show his grace upon your life. We just need to keep on asking. And I just think it's a beautiful picture that, Lord, if your grace keeps pouring to me, I'm going to be giving it to others and I'm going to need more. See, we run out of grace, God doesn't. So I'm asking you, when's the last time you asked for God to give you more grace? When's the last time you asked God to use me today, Lord? Make it open up a door of opportunity. Instead of looking at our schedules and our itineraries, everything we have to get accomplished, where am I saying, God, help me in this area? God, give me a divine appointment where I can show your grace to someone else who needs it. There was somebody in your life that showed you God's grace at one point. Be thankful for that person. Be thankful for that person. God's grace is infinite, and it's also available at all times. Keep paying it forward, because his grace is infinite, and it never runs out. His grace is what helps us to pay it forward. I want us to think about some ways we can pay it forward. What are we looking for? What opportunities are out there for us? You know, sometimes we can hear about someone either in the body of church or at work or at our school or wherever it is that maybe doesn't have as much as we have. That we could, like I said, gifts that we've given to these seven families. Maybe they don't even have a Christmas tree. Have you ever thought about helping someone else out at Christmas? Purchasing them a Christmas tree? Helping them give gifts like we've done here within his name? It's looking and listening for these opportunities that God has for us. In fact, just this week I had the opportunity. I don't want to say too much about it because the person is here. But God revealed to me how I could bless a friend in my life. Very simple. It didn't take a lot of money. But it was a reminder to me, God, I'm watching and looking for these opportunities that you're going to give to me. And be willing to do that. Be willing to meet that need. I actually went by a church plaque the other day. And it says, bless someone today and give them a hug. Sorry, Rob, I know you wouldn't want one of those. Especially for another guy. But you see, it's the simplest of things that we can do for someone else that will bless them. Simply, it doesn't have to be monetary. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be glamorous. I mean, in 2 weeks from today, I can't believe I'm saying that, in 2 weeks from today, we're going to be sitting around with family and friends and unwrapping gifts and a bunch of blessings. But it's not the stuff. It's not the monetary. It's not how much someone spends on you. It's the thought that counts. That's what we say, right? How much thought comes in someone giving you a tie? How much thought? How much thought did I give my wife that iron-on t-shirt many years ago? It was a lot of thought, actually. It's a lot. I mean, you just don't understand. Sometimes we miss our blessings. It's the small things, it's the little things that matter. Some of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten were because someone just thought about who I was, my personality, and they gave me a small little token to remind me of that. That's the beauty. Spending time with each other. Grabbing a coffee together. Those are paying those things forward. If you heard about a need in someone's life, would you say, boy, I wish somebody would meet that? Or would you ask yourself, I want to meet that? Or let's get together and meet that. If you can't afford something, get some friends together and say, let's do this for someone and bless them. And I always like to do it so they don't know it's me. The blessing from the Lord. That's the beauty of it. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 10:8. Made it again. I just love this verse. Jesus says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now many of us will probably look at this, freely you have received, freely give. Yes, that's it, Lord. Freely you've given me up, now I need to give. But notice the list of things that Jesus is saying to do. And he wants us to heal, he wants us to cleanse, he wants to raise, and he wants us to cast out. These are all spiritual things. And I'm wondering if we're missing the point, if we're always talking about stuff and items and monetary things to give to people. When Jesus says, you know what you need to do? You need to heal, pray for someone. Lay hands upon them and believe for healing in them. Is there somebody in your life right now that you're praying over or praying for something to happen? I mean, little Judson Donegan is here with us this morning. Can't say that from the pulpit. Okay, good. My favorite baby. I just know there's some women in here who are pregnant, and they're probably like, well, what about when mine's born? Then yours will be my favorite. No. But little Judson, an absolute miracle. If you know the story, and know what happened. And we just prayed by faith and prayed by faith and prayed. What an absolute blessing. You want to talk about God's grace. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Now, I always like to think the others, if things don't go our way, will we still say, God, thank you for your grace? I would hope we would. But I want us to focus on, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out. How much faith does it take for you to believe that you can raise the dead? We might go, who does that anymore? Who believes by faith that we can raise the dead? I certainly believe. Of course, I should. But the reality is, these spiritual things, Jesus says, freely you've been given the ability to do it, now freely do it. There's a verse in James chapter 5, it's verses 14 and 15, it says, if any of you are sick, let them come to the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and if they have any sins, they shall be healed. If any of you are sick, let them come to the elders of the church, the people, the prayer counselors that are here, or the pastors that are in this ministry. If you are sick, if you are depressed, if you're discouraged, if you're financially strapped, come to the elder church. We'll lay hands. We'll anoint you with oil. I was thinking about this morning. I carry my anointing oil with me all the time. I'm going to stand here and say this. I want this bottle to be empty every Sunday. Are we doing what God is telling us to do? Are we praying by faith to heal, to raise? We all got demons in our life. You might call them family. I don't know what you call them. Amen, brother, right? That was bad. All right, 10:21, we'll edit that out. Okay. But seriously, the enemy is out there to destroy us and to hold us back. If we're going to be paying it forward, I believe this is what we need to be paying it forward. We need to be believing that God's going to do an absolute miracle in your life and heal you of a sickness, raise you from the dead, cast out demons that you're dealing with, whatever it is. Freely we've been given. Freely we should give. Guys, let's not miss this opportunity. This is the only life we have to see the miracles of God, to see the grace of God upon our lives. And like it says, little Judson is a miracle, and he's a display of God's grace. But let's see more of that. Let's see more of God's grace in our lives so that we're not being overwhelmed with the difficulties. Oh, it's the source of us paying it forward is by God's grace. That's what Paul said. I am who I am by God's grace, and anything I do is by God's grace. So let's let God's grace flow through us, and let's pay it forward. So I think God's grace is foundational, but there's a second thing. Not only is it by his grace or because of his grace, but it's got to be done with the right heart, with the right heart. So say goodbye to 1 Corinthians 15. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and see what God set up way early in the lives of the Israelites in the beginning with them. He wanted to keep things in check, and it's a beautiful picture if you understand what's going on. Deuteronomy chapter 15, we're going to be picking up in verse 7. God had established with the children of Israel that every 7 years, all debts and all loans were to be erased in the children of Israel. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be great? Every 7 years, your credit card goes to zero. Praise God for that credit card, right? That's what God established because he didn't want debt in the family of God, in his family. So in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 15, God is addressing this. He says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren in the family of God, within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God has given to you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. So the picture is, hey, When it's in the sixth year and the seventh year is coming and you see a brother in need and you think, boy, I can help them, but if I help them in about 6 months, I'm not going to get my money back. And God's saying, I want you to check your heart. Make sure your heart doesn't go hard. Be always willing to give. Look at verse 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, and your needy in your land. God is saying, listen, even when the seventh year is approaching and you see your brother in great need, don't think in your heart, oh, if I give to him now, I won't get my money back. You still give. You help your brother. You have the right heart. See, paying it forward is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of, is our heart right before God and wanting to bless others? It's a heart issue. How many of us in this room sometimes have hard hearts? I'm a sinful man, and many years ago I loaned some money to some friends. They were fully going to pay me back. They never did. And unfortunately, in my sinfulness, I think about it from time to time. They got away with my money. They got away with my money. And immediately God goes, have I not blessed you enough? And immediately I go, I'm a sinful man. Forgive me, Lord. This verse, verse 10 says, if you give with the right heart, if you bless and don't worry about it, I'll take care of you. God is the guarantee, if you will, of all your debts. No greater counsel can I give you than this. If you ever have family or friends that ask you to borrow money from, I ask you this. Are you willing to give that money away? If you're thinking, oh, okay, I'll give, but I need to get that back. Trust me, you're setting yourself up for some failure. Unfortunately, most times we don't get the money back. But if you're willing to give it away, if you're willing to say, I'm going to loan it to you, if you pay me back, great. If not, it's yours. God bless you. Because God will bless you back for that heart. You've got to have the heart. Because you don't want to have tension between family. You don't want to have tension with your friends because of money. I mean, it's a necessary evil, but it's ridiculous. We live in a country that has established a system to give people money that don't have anything, right? But the system's broke. It's helping make people lazy. It's not teaching them to be good with their money. If someone's in need of finances, if someone's in need of some, the first thing you can do is sit down with them and pray with them and ask them why they're in the situation. We do it all the time at the church. Many people come and ask us for money at the church, and we always want to find out, how'd you get in the situation? What are you going to do next month when you still don't have a job? We've got to get down to the root of the issue. If we're going to give, it's going to be because God tells us to. And we need to do that. If God is telling you to do it, then do it. But if you can't do it with the right heart, you're setting yourself up for failure. There's no reason for a relationship to be broken just because of money. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. And God's saying, listen, you make sure your heart is right. The human condition is that we always have hard hearts. You know, how many people do we drive by on every day on the corner streets, either trying to sell a newspaper or want a handout? They're all over the place, especially this time of year. And certainly this is the time of year to be giving, right? But you got to make sure you do it right. You do it with the right heart. The Bible even says, if a man doesn't work, he shall not eat. So if we're going to do the right thing, we're going to make sure we're prayerful before we give. Prayerful before we meet somebody else's need. This country has a welfare system that doesn't really help people. Keeps them in the situation they're in. The best thing we can do for people that are in a difficult situation is walk with them through that difficult situation and teach them. You've heard the saying, give someone a fish, they'll eat for today. Teach someone to fish, they'll eat for the rest of their life. Teaching them the biblical principles that we have. Jesus said, when you cast your seed on good soil, you remember the parable of the sower and the seed? rocky seed, thorny seed. He says that the seed that's put into good ground will return 30, 60, or 100-fold. Our job is to figure out what that good seed is, what that good ground is, excuse me, what that good ground, who are the people that we can bless that'll really make a difference. The whole idea of paying it forward is that you bless someone else so that they'll bless someone else so that they'll bless someone else, and it'll keep on going. That's the heart behind it. So we want to make sure we're teaching, not just meeting a need. Again, meeting a need doesn't do anything for anyone. It might keep them in that place. See, God's way is so much better. Every 7 years, renewed debt. In fact, Ephesians 4:28, one of the last verses I have, says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need." So this verse is very clear. You don't stay in your situation. If you used to steal, stop it. Get a job, make some money so you have something to give to others. That's the idea, is get people to a place where we give. I found this story in 1784. Benjamin Franklin wrote to his friend Benjamin Webb this letter, and it's kind of interesting how it's written, but I hope you get the idea for it. It says, "Dear sir, the account they gave of your situation grieves me. I send you herewith a bill for 10 French gold coins. I do not pretend to give you such a sum. I only lend it to you. When you shall return to your country with a good character, you cannot fail of getting into some business that will in time enable you to pay all your debts. In that case, when you meet with another honest man in similar distress, you must pay me by lending this sum to him, enjoining him to discharge the debt by a like operation, when he shall be able and shall meet with another opportunity. I hope it may thus go through many hands before it meets with a dishonest man that will stop its progress. This is a trick of mine for doing a deal of good with little money. I am not rich enough to afford much in good works, and so am obliged to be cunning and make the most of a little. With best wishes for your future prosperity, I am, dear sir, your most obedient servant. Signed, Benjamin Franklin." And the idea is, I'm going to loan you money, but I don't want it back. I want you to pass it on to someone else. I want you to give it to someone else who will give it to someone else who will give it to someone else. And I notice in this letter, he says, he makes the most out of a little. Again, it's not the quantity of blessing that you give to someone. It's the heart behind the blessing. It's the ability to give and to not expect anything back, knowing that God will take care of you. Is that your heart here this morning? That you've been blessed so by God that you're willing to give to someone else? Oh, my little boy. We almost made it. So sweet. Be a generous person. This is the time of year where we're so giving and we're so into gifts for each other. But don't let this season end December 26th. Be a giving person all year long. Be someone that is willing to help someone else in need. Help a brother up. Help someone get out of the pit that they are in. Be that arm of God to bless on someone else because you've been blessed so much. My wife has one of the most generous hearts of anyone I know. Amen. And if you know her well, you know how well she loves to bless people. And you've probably heard the story. She learned that from her mother. Her mother was a very giving person. And from the world's perspective, she didn't have a lot of wealth. But she was always very giving. And my wife learned that. And my wife was willing to be very giving even before she knew the Lord. But then when she came into faith and when she began to walk with God and God began to bless her because he saw the heart of a generous woman, he blessed her abundantly. I'm so proud to be her husband. I'm so proud of the woman that she's become. And the things that God is opening those doors is such an absolute blessing. But that is the blessing of the Lord. That is the grace of God upon her life. I love you with all my heart. But she didn't do it. God did it through her. She was willing to work hard. She was willing to put in the time. She was willing to go through the tough years. But God blessed her through it. And that's to say that it can happen to any single one of us. We are children of God. We belong to Him. We are heirs to the King who owns everything and can do absolutely anything. God can bless a generous heart. God's grace upon your life, flowing through you to touch the lives of others, that'll continually flow into you if you just continue to bless others. But do it with the right heart. I'm not saying just give haphazardly. I'm not just saying, well, as soon as you drive out here, if you see something, give. No. Do it as the Lord leads you. That's important. Paying it forward means finding the right need and meeting that need. You can't help everyone. Because we would think, oh, there's so many needs. You can't help everyone, but you can help someone. Remember that this week. You can't help everyone, but you can help someone. I challenge you this week, pay it forward and be blessed by doing so and give God thanks for what He's allowed you to do. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning and how blessed we are of Your abundance of grace in our lives. And Lord, we thank You for the hearts that You've given to us. And I pray that this year, this Christmas, as we sit in abundance of blessings in this country, blessings in our families, blessings with our children and our parents and our friends. God, let us be thankful. And let us not just be thankful this time of year. Let us carry this through all through our life. January, February, March, all through the year. May we be constantly looking and listening for opportunities to bless our brothers and sisters. God, I would specifically pray for those seven families of the table filled with gifts, that each and every gift would bless the child, the parent, the person that it's going to meet a need. And God, it breaks our hearts that in this world there are people that are asking for a pair of socks for Christmas. Some that are asking for a roll of toilet paper. Simplest of needs that for many of us are just normal. Let us not forget how rich we truly are, how blessed we really are. Let our hands be open wide to pour out Your blessings. And Lord, let us turn back and say thank You. Let us be grateful for the lives that You've given to us. Bless each and every person in this church. God, help our hearts to be soft. Help our hearts not to get hard. Help us to look at our neighbors and be thankful for the people You've put around us. And as we leave this place, bless us this day. Whatever we have in store, whatever plans we have, we pray that Your grace would be sufficient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.